Well, my father is probably the most resistant person of the gospel that I've ever known. And he called me one time at 84 years of age, having years earlier told me that he never wanted to hear any of that religious stuff again. He had been owned several taverns and really was hostile to any idea that he would ever be called or considered a sinner. And so I hadn't really since that's pretty much first base, I hadn't gotten past first base with him, past the whole sin issue. And he just simply would not listen to the gospel. Well, anyway, he called me, and he had been diagnosed with a terminal, illness. And, he said, I've got a gun in my hand and I'm going to take my life. And he says, and I'm sorry, that I'm going to have to leave you, this mess. And, he lived in Vancouver, Washington, just, maybe 30 minutes away, and I just begged him, hang on, Dad, hang on until I get there. I'm coming, you know. And so I hopped in the car and made that 30-minute drive in 15 or 20 minutes, I guess. And I got there, got to the front door, started pounding on the front door of his house in Vancouver. No response. Of course, I'm holding my breath. As a pastor, I'd once walked in on a scene where somebody had taken their life, and you know, I just didn't want to see it. I opened the door, I walked in, and they're laying on the floor where there's a gun and a rifle, and I knew he had another gun or two, and I thought, okay. And I kept calling his name, you know, calling dad, and he wasn't there. Finally, I walked around the corner, braced myself, walked into his bedroom and bumped into him as he was actually walking out of the room, rushing him to the hospital, got him in there. And, they were going to take him into surgery first thing the next morning to see if they could correct this problem. Well, I got there an hour before he was going to be taken into surgery, and I opened up the Bible and I said, Dad, I know you've said you don't want to hear this, but because I love you and I care about you and I don't want you to go to hell for eternity, I want you to go to heaven, I want you to trust Christ as your Savior, I'm going to share this with you. And of course, he was in a position where he was weak and he was laying in this bed and, you know, he really, you know, couldn't get away from me. And so I opened the scripture and I started going through the gospel and Romans 3. But as I'm reading in Romans 3, there's a part of me that wants to, you know, skip ahead and get to the grace of Christ in our life. And it's like I've got two voices going and I'm going,
don't
very
turn
much
them off
tempted.
Again.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm reading in Romans 3. And of course, as you well know, that passage just goes on and on. I mean, if you want to have some poor self-esteem, read Romans 3, because we're vile and we're worthless and we're, you know, all of these things. Our throats are an open grave and on and on. Well, so I'm reading through all this sin stuff. And when I do that, then I move to Romans 6 and eventually I get to, you know, to Romans 10 and confessing Christ as Lord and all that. But I shared the gospel with him for about half an hour and he was attentive. He was listening and I got all the way to the end of it. And I looked at him and I said, Dad, have you ever put your faith in Christ as your Savior? And confessed your sins and given your life to Christ. Of course, I knew the answer to that. And I was literally, Hank, already saying in my head, thank you, God, for giving me this one last opportunity with my dad. You talk about lack of faith. It literally didn't occur to me that he might actually give his life to Christ. Because you have to understand, of all the people I've had the opportunity to share Christ with and see come to Christ, my dad was impossible. It was like the ultimate. Okay. So then I look at him and I ask him that question. He looks back at me and he says, well, no, I never have given a life to Christ. And then he paused and he says, but I think it's about time I did. So I have the joy of hearing my father pray out loud, confess his sins, give his life to Christ. And before he's wheeled into surgery, become a child of God. And God gave me 5 more years with my dad. Of course, the doctors were wrong on their diagnosis, and he was there for another 5 years and got to pray with him on a regular basis and, you know, read from Scripture to him. But the thing was, and the reason I mentioned this, tell this story in Grace and Truth Paradox, was I really was severely tempted to skip that sin part. I'd addressed it before with him, but that's all the further I could get. So I kind of could rationalize, well, I've been there with my dad. That's just going to trip him up. Well, the thing is, it's God's job to save somebody. That's not my job. My job is to be faithful to the truth and share with him the truth of God. That's what I did that day. And I've always been so grateful since then that I did not do what would have been easier for me, which was to kind of skip that part. But I did what was actually best for my dad, because the greatest kindness I could offer my dad that day was the truth.